Washington Journal. We're excited that you're here. I actually just got handed a piece of paper, and it's going to be a good one. Let me just read this to you guys in case you haven't done so already. When you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, we're doing our 30 days of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales right now. It's 25% off site-wide. I told you that earlier in the show. But most importantly, there's something new there. Alex Jones's signature blades are in and will sell out fast. So if you want to head on over to the store right now and grab some of those, it is up officially on thealexjonesstore.com, of course. And when you become a VIP member for only $30 a month, you get $40 in store credit every month. And of course, it is the number one way to keep us up on air. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. That just coming into us. So we just got those Alex Jones signature blades in right now. And this makes a great, great holiday gift. Again, 25% off. You can't beat those deals. So head on over and make sure you grab yourself some of those before we sell out, of course. All right, we got a lot underway. We're going to have Matthew Marsden on in just a few moments, followed by Mark Mitchell. But most importantly, you know, I was on the phone, and me and Mel Kay, she filled in for me yesterday, and she was so incredible. I'm so thankful for her. We tend to, like, just call, and it's not normal girl chat. It's like an outline of where all the corruption and deep state operatives are working next and what they're trying to do. And so she called me, and she's, like, so enraged. And she's like, Brianna, did you read the AutoPen report that was dropped last week? And I said, well, it dropped on like a bunch of other days, like a bunch of other stuff dropped. I actually haven't had time to. It is literally sitting on my stack right now. And she goes, you got to look because someone's name pops up in it. And it's Steven Spielberg. His name is actually in there. Apparently, he was orchestrating quite the interesting State of the Union address for Joe Biden. Obviously, Joe Biden wasn't doing well, and they were holding on for any type of opportunity for him to pretend like he was mentally well, but he wasn't. And so that's what's being outlined there. I'm going to be bringing in Matt Marsden to discuss because I think it's really interesting. Really, really interesting. The fact that that took place and that happened. But most importantly, George Clooney is coming clean. And George Clooney is saying, it was a mistake to install Kamala Harris and force Joe Biden out. So we've got that clip for you. We'll play it for you. I think it's so fascinating because George Clooney, obviously someone who wasn't very transparent. He probably knew early on that Joe Biden's health was declining. And when he realized it was too obvious to keep covering for, he decided to put out that letter. That was the op-ed in the New York Times telling him to drop out. But again, you're going to hear George Clooney say it. Apparently he wanted a primary. So we'll see how that goes. Again, Kamala Harris still thinks she could win. It's so disgraceful. She still thinks that she could run for president in 2028. She's actually telling a lot of people close to her that she's kind of interested, kind of looking at it. She doesn't deny it when she's asked about it by reporters. So I don't know how to feel about that. It would be a clear win for whoever is the Republican nominee. I know a lot of people are leaning on J.D. Vance for that. But again, folks, I don't really know. I don't really know what direction to go in with that. But we've got a lot to discuss with Matthew Marsden. Mark Mitchell joining us in the second half of the hour because he's got a lot of interesting polls and not much on today's election. Not much on today's election, but he's got a good one with 52% of voters believing that Joe Biden's aides should be criminally prosecuted for unauthorized actions during his administration. Again, that's all wrapped up into the AutoPen scandal. And I think that's quite fascinating when you look at the numbers. One would assume that the numbers are probably higher, but they're not. They're not. We're also going to talk about a new Israel poll that's going to be out. Actually, it was put out late last night, by Rasmussen Reports. Does the nation of Israel have too much influence over U.S. policy? Or not enough influence over U.S. policy. And 45% said too much. Now, the age range there was 18 to 29. So that's very interesting on how those numbers are kind of growing amongst young people. We look forward to having Mark Mitchell on the program, of course, to discuss just that. He'll be joining us in just a moment. So again, a lot happening, a lot that I'm trying to keep my eye on, of course. We've got a big one, too. We're working on a story for tomorrow. Brian Harrison, he's a Texas state representative. He's joining the show tomorrow to detail specifically about how the DMVs here in Texas are apparently giving illegal aliens registrations for their vehicles. Yeah, he uncovered just that. So he'll be joining us tomorrow as well. So a lot to dive into in the final hour of the American Journal. I'm excited that you're joining us, of course. So don't go anywhere. We got more to discuss in just a moment.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think that this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theory. So it's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. Looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalist in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. Happy Tuesday, everyone. It feels like a Monday for me, of course, but it is Tuesday. As many of you guys know, we've been digging through the headlines, going through everything that's taking place. I even did some document diving. We have the criminal complaint from the ISIS, alleged ISIS terror plot, inspired terror plot. We have that. We've been digging into that with Ken Silva earlier in the show. I'm continuing to sift through this. I look forward to bringing you any updates as we do just that. But I wanted to shift gears over a little bit to the Hollywood elites. Because, folks, I mean, enough is enough. So many of them have tried their very best to interfere in our elections because they think they could lecture the rest of us, of course. And they're doing a lot to cover up things like Joe Biden's mental decline. My girl Mel Kay called me the other day. And again, I mean, I keep talking about this, but we don't have like normal girl conversations. It's like, you'll never guess this level of corruption that I've uncovered, the deep state operatives, the globalists. And then she goes into telling me everything that she's uncovered because she does a lot of document diving herself. And she's found in that Biden auto pen document dump that happened last week, she found a name that jumped out of the pages for her. Steven Spielberg. Yeah. So he was apparently one of the many names that dropped in that list of people involved, allegedly, and have some type of role and involvement in all of this. Again, they're just saying that Steven Spielberg, again, it's Monday for me mentally, Steven Spielberg was one of the Hollywood professionals who helped aid Joe Biden prior to his State of the Union address back in March of 2024. Jeffrey Katzberger is also another name that's dropped in this as well. But essentially, it's why would you need Steven Spielberg to help you prepare for the State of the Union? Well, of course, because Joe Biden was someone who had to be heavily medicated to be up there. He was gone, barely holding on, and then he gave you that speech. But why the heck would Steven Spielberg? You could hire any coaching acting coach possible, but you go after this guy? Somehow he's helping out? I think it's a much bigger issue here. Joining me to discuss is Matthew Marsden. He is a legendary actor, of course, and it's an honor to have him back on this program. If you haven't done so already, you got to give him a follow on X. It's Matthew D. Marsden. Of course, give him a follow on X. He's also on YouTube as well. Same handle, same follow. Matthew, welcome to the show. We're excited to have you here. So listen, I saw that Steven Spielberg's name's popped up in this document dump that happened last week, and I thought it was quite strange. But somebody, given your background, how rare would it be for a high-profile person like Steven Spielberg to help out Joe Biden prior to the State of the Union?
Well, firstly, Brianna, thank you for having me on the show. And I would like to say this. The Democrats can call on the best people in the world to come in and produce their propaganda. And that's what they did with Steven Spielberg. He's probably, for me, the greatest living director. And this has been going on for quite some time. You know, the Democrats have been working behind the scenes with Hollywood for a very, very long time. So it's not a surprise for me that they called Spielberg in their time of need. And look, at the end of the day, he said yes. I think it's very important to reiterate this. And this is why they don't want conservatives in Hollywood at all, because we don't have that reach anymore. We don't have those credentials that can come in. And for the most part, Republicans don't come to conservative filmmakers, which is actually a really, really big mistake. I mean, even if you look at where Obama went after he left the White House, where did he go? He went to Netflix because he understands messaging. He understands that Hollywood is the greatest pop propaganda machine that the world has ever seen. And so, of course, if you're going to go to someone to kind of patch over those holes, and they were not so much holes as the Grand Canyon, they're going to go to the best guy doing it. And even if you look back at some of the speeches that he's done, the lighting and the positioning of the camera and all this, I made this argument a few years ago when Trump was debating, and the way that the angles were positioned, the cameras were positioned on the debate. I can go very deep into this. For example, if you want a villain to come on the screen, what you do is you have the villain move in from right to left, because we read from left to right. So there are all these little nuances that filmmakers know that make people feel uncomfortable, or they make people look great. So if you look at Biden, they'll shoot him from low, pointing up, which gives him this more heroic stance. If you're looking at the debates, as I was saying, Trump was boxed in very tightly and it was shot slightly above. So you're looking down on him, which makes him look big, but big in the frame, but also small and less powerful by the camera angle. So they've been doing this for a very, very long time. It's just that we haven't had people that have really been cluing up to it. And it's taken Biden's decline. It was so severe that it's taken something like that to expose it. So I'm absolutely not surprised in the slightest.
Well, that's the issue here too. And I love the angling on all of this. You know, I remember watching when he gave that demonic speech, and there was the backlighting, the red backlighting. It was very communist inspired, it felt like, and it felt very intentional. Although the Democrats on the mainstream media wouldn't acknowledge that, it felt very, very intentional that they were giving him this backdrop. And it just seems like it's theatrical. And we saw the J6 committee too. This is another great angle on this too. The J6 committee bringing in, I believe it was an ABC producer to produce the J6 committee's public hearings, in which they lied to the American people. They showed things that they deemed as evidence that actually wasn't evidence that was ever able to be brought into a courtroom. But they did that to go after these defendants and to taint the jury pool, even in fact showing what they claimed was a gun, a firearm, a rifle, when in fact it was not an actual gun. But this is what they did, and they were able to get away with this. But for some reason, there's only one side of the aisle doing these dramatic theatrics and not the other side. So it's extremely discouraging. But it also comes with a massive backing. Those on the left, they do have a massive backing by those in Hollywood, like you've always detailed to us here on the show. But George Clooney is someone who comes to mind when I think about all of this, because George Clooney is a massive fundraiser for the Democratic Party. And I thought it was quite strange when Clooney came out and he had that New York Times article, the op-ed he released, actually, asking Joe to step back and to get out of the election. Now, according to him, we're going to play this clip for you in clip 22. He didn't want Kamala Harris to be the nominee. He, in fact, apparently, he says he wanted a primary to take place. Take a listen.
During the election, you threw yourself into politics with sure. that guest essay, mm-hmm. New York Times. Looking back, would you do that again?
Yes. We had a chance. I wanted there to be, as I wrote in the op-ed, a primary. Let's battle test this quickly and get it up and going. I think the mistake with it being Kamala is that she had to run against her own record. And it's very hard to do if the point of running is to say, I'm not that person. You know, it's hard to do. And so she was given a very tough task. I think it was a mistake, quite honestly. But we are where we are. We were going to lose more House seats, they say. So, you know, I don't know. To not do it would be to say, I'm not going to tell the truth.
Did you see Hunter Biden's reaction?
Yeah, I saw it.
What did you make of it?
Well, I could spend a lot of time debunking many of the things he said, because many of the things he said were just outright lies. You know, Obama didn't put me up to it. It wasn't my fundraiser. It was my fundraiser. All the things. But the reality is, I don't think looking backwards like that is helpful to anyone. Particularly to him. I don't think it's helpful for the Democratic Party. And so I'm just going to wish him well on his ongoing recovery, and I hope he does well, and just leave it at that. I have many personal opinions about it, but I don't find it to be helpful to have a public spat with him. So.
All right, it's a little classy, not wanting to get into a public spat with Hunter Biden. But the reality of it is he refers to it as a mistake by installing Kamala Harris as the nominee. What do you make of that? Because she's still, to this day, when you ask her if she's going to run again, she won't deny it, and she gives you a little smirk as if she's got something up her sleeve. But this is a big donor for the Democratic Party.
Well, yeah, I mean, firstly, I appreciate the irony of what I'm about to say, which is who cares what an act has to say about anything? Because, like, they're not necessarily experts in anything. But as you said, Brianna, not only is George Clooney and a lot of the Democrats that are in Hollywood massive donors, they have absolutely huge followings. And this is part of the issue that conservatives don't really understand. For example, if The Rock decides to run as a Democrat, we are in very, very deep trouble. And that is because if you are an actor that's been, let's say like Matthew McConaughey, who's been at the top of the game for 20 years, he has had billions, not hundreds of millions, billions of dollars put behind him in advertising. Every single year, Hollywood spends billions on advertising their movies. And what that does in turn is it grows their social media presence, which again, as you know, all politicians and all the politicos behind the scenes, they want name recognition. They want to be able to get up there and reach the general public without having to go and do a grassroots campaign. So if you have 100 million people follow you on Instagram, that's a huge deal. And you're seeing right now with Nicki Minaj coming out and saying something pro-Trump, they're all panicking because she has a massive social media following. She also has a lot of reach into the African-American community. So we can dismiss Hollywood like it doesn't matter. But the truth is, the great Andrew Breitbart said, politics is downstream from culture. And these people, especially in Hollywood, not only are they massively wealthy, but they have absolutely huge amounts of influence on the media. And the Democrats have played this game for many, many years. And the first person to come along that understands it, because he was in it for 17 years as the number one show on television, is Donald J. Trump. And if you look at the difference between the old conservative, the old Republican rallies, the productions that they put on, they were stiff, they were boring. And now if you look at now, Trump is in there. He understands the media. He understands how to utilize it. So now it's a lot more energized. It's a lot more stylistic. Whereas before, Republicans wrongly, Brianna, wrongly would say, we have the best messaging. We have the best ideas, so therefore we will win. That's clearly not the case. Otherwise, AOC would be nowhere near Congress. So we have to understand now, and I think we have with Trump and the, you know, the messaging he's done, like, you know, J.D. Vance coming in and doing his Halloween costume. They understand a lot more the media, and the Democrats are panicking because it was their area of expertise for so long, and they're losing grip on it because now the whole world is fed up of the woke politics. So they're becoming less and less relevant. And Hollywood is becoming less and less relevant. But it does not mean that they don't have massive reach and influence. And so that's what we've seen with the George Clooney. I mean, George Clooney now has got to be in his 60s, is still very, very powerful. And who is the biggest threat to them now? Sydney Sweeney.
yes she is. And it's so funny to sit back and watch that too play out. They really don't like her, and she doesn't even say much, which is probably ideal, but for most. But again, this is what they do. They don't like those who might have the slightest conservative values. They deem them as the enemy.
I know all about that, don't I?
Case in point. Well, yeah, you do. And actually, this story just popped up. I didn't put on your radar before you came on, so we're kind of getting a fresh reaction from you. But one of your fellow Brits from across the pond just had some very good news. Tommy Robinson was just acquitted on all charges, and that was under the Terrorism Act. Now, it's so fascinating for us here in the United States to sit back and watch. You know, we talked about this previously. I had Ezra Levant on the program where he detailed specifically how that Terrorism Act was being utilized to go after Tommy because Tommy refused to hand over his phone when he was randomly stopped. So this judge just shocked the media outlets that were in the room when she said, or he said, you are acquitted. You are acquitted because you should have never been stopped. This was an unlawful stop. I wanted your reaction to this because they asked him during this unlawful stop to turn over his phone. He didn't. He refused to give him the code. And now a judge just sided with him.
Well, I've been trying to tell people. Oh, sorry. You're doing a, is there a clip there?
No, it's not. This is all you. You can go.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, I've been trying to tell my my former countrymen, because now, as you know, I'm an American. I've been trying to tell them how they do not have true freedom. And I did not appreciate that until I came to the United States and educated myself on the Constitution and the Founding Fathers and why America is so great. And I think that over the last few years, certainly since Keir Starmer came in, which has been within a year, they've seen their freedoms erode by the minute. And so I think it's the same as over here, right? When we get a federal judge that actually sides with the law, we're gobsmacked, right? We're like, hang on a second, that this isn't the way it goes. Aren't you all, you know, Soros appointees or Soros funded? And I think that it's getting the same way over in the United Kingdom, because if you say anything about anything over there now that's against the government narrative, you will be prosecuted. And obviously what we're seeing is, as they say, two-tier Keir, where there appears to be a two-tier justice system. And this is a massive victory for Tommy Robinson. And I'd really, if people don't know who Tommy Robinson is, I would really love to recommend to your audience that they watch the Trigonometry podcast, where they go through and they interview him. It's an excellent, excellent piece of material. And it gives you kind of the background of what he saw and where he came from. But this is a huge victory, especially off the back of a man being murdered in the street walking his dog by an Afghan last week. And then over the weekend, we had 10 people stabbed on a train going down to London, which is it's unbelievable to me. I cannot believe that this is happening in the country that I was born and raised in. For us, certainly, and I come from, you could kind of argue I come from the wrong side of the tracks, Brianna. I come from a working class, what they call council estate, which is pretty much the projects. You never had stabbings. It was just absolutely not done. And this is a ideology and a culture that has been imported to the United Kingdom. And we must be very, very careful that the same doesn't happen here.
Yeah. And it's actively happening here as we watch what's going on in New York City. I mean, I keep saying it. I don't think enough people were paying attention to this. Zohran Mamdani's campaign admitted that he was the plot in 2014 to run for mayor. They were plotting back then. He wasn't even a U.S. citizen then. He was only given citizenship in 2018. And now he's running on this anti-capitalism, communist, jihadist movement right now. And it's absolutely devastating. But when you look at the roots, who his family is, and you go through the digging, you realize that they've been plotting to take down the United States for quite some time. New York City, obviously, the center of capitalism for the world. That's the reason why they went after the World Trade Center, of course. This is a massive, 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 massive loss for America if he's able to win today. All candidates involved, I don't have confidence in, but that is the one where I'm very strongly against. President Trump thankfully weighing in and saying he's a communist, although I don't think President Trump has much in the way of persuasion in New York City. They don't like him in New York City, so I don't know if this is going to go anywhere. But again, this is something that we need to keep our eye on. This is happening everywhere. It's going to happen in Georgia, too. It looks like in Atlanta, they're about to run another woman with extreme ties to Islam to be mayor there, too. So again, this is a big movement. No one's been paying attention to the Socialists of America movement that's been going on behind the scenes. It's been heavily happening in New York. It's been going on for many years. I've covered extensively. They are communists, and they are here to take over. Matt, I also want to talk a little bit about, I guess we'll get to talk a little bit about the Terrorism Act itself that you guys have in the UK. It's very much similar to the Patriot Act that we have here in the United States, where it infringes on people's basic rights, and it pretends to do so to keep us safer, to help prevent terrorism. But as you know, and you just outlined too, that stabbing where 10 people were stabbed, I'm shocked, Matt, because I don't understand why we don't know who the suspect is. We've seen footage. It appears to be a black man. I haven't heard much about his immigration status. I did see that this was a Brit. That was blasted everywhere. Don't know how true that is. But this is the problem in the UK. When it is someone who is not a native, who is not white, they do their very best to hide their face. They won't release it willingly. They won't release their information. They won't release their immigration status. It's up to journalists, and you're hoping that they're doing their diligence behind the scenes to figure out who these people are. But again, we don't know much about this guy. I was watching a video of him slugging what looked like to be alcohol before he went into a barbershop and threatened those individuals with a knife. But like, what the heck is happening here where in the UK, they do more to cover up for the suspects than actually helping them, helping the public understand where the threat actually is?
Yeah, well, it's suicidal empathy, isn't it, over there? It's a major problem. And unfortunately, because the media, and look, we can talk about it here as well, right? Because the media has been complicit with big government in covering these things up. Unfortunately, whether or not this person, I mean, we know now that he was a British national, or he's a British national, but of course people are going to jump to conclusions because in the past, there's been a delay in them releasing the details of the person. You know, we've had it over here when there was a shooting at Fort Hood. You know, we were like, okay, you're going to tell us the details. And they, even there, they slow rolled it to come out. So people understandably are going to jump to conclusions, especially when an Afghan immigrant, illegal, stabbed a man while he was walking his dog. So it's normal that people are going to jump to certain conclusions. But part of that is because the journalists haven't done their job. But like, we know how important it is for journalists to keep and hold the politicians accountable. And they haven't been doing that in the UK for a very, very long time. And these things have just been bubbling up underneath the surface for many, many, many years. I mean, you know, it's that old thing in the UK, keep calm and carry on. People aren't calm anymore. People are sick, you know, because they understand that they can't even now get on a train and go somewhere without the threat of being stabbed and killed. And again, isn't it interesting, Brianna, that whenever you bring something up like this to anyone over in the UK, the leftists already, they always turn around and they talk about banning guns over in the UK. And I'll turn around and say, well, how's that going for you? Because you can't have anything over a 3-inch blade in the United Kingdom. Yet the bad guys, as we say over here, the bad guys will still get access to guns. And the bad guys over there get access to larger than 3-inch blades. Yeah. So it doesn't work. It's the person that is the problem, not the actual tool that they use.
Yeah, yeah. And they always do that. I remember when they were arguing in the UK that you guys should have certain pointed knives, that we should get rid of the pointy side of the knives, I think was the argument, and should be more of a curve so that they can't go around stabbing people, you know, because the knives stab people. It's not the actual people behind it, of course. They always do this. And I always say this, this is my kind of my analogy these days. I always say, well, listen, I'm not saying that everyone's a bad person, but when one out of five bad apples, one's poison out of the five that you have in front of you, are you going to go and eat any of those apples? No, of course you're not, because you're going to not want to take the gamble. And that's what's exactly what's happening when it comes to mass migration. We have no idea who these people are. We have no idea where they're coming from. They are men of fighting age, and we've welcomed them into our countries. And the consequences are constantly being felt. I feel like in the UK specifically, every day we see a headline pop up. We're waiting to see when enough is enough. But we hope that the Brits continue to fight back. Matt, you're doing an incredible job at just speaking out on these issues. So we are appreciative of that. Head on over to YouTube. Give him a follow. Give him a follow on X as well. It's the same username, Matthew D. Marsden. Matthew, we appreciate your insight, of course. And we look forward to having you back on soon. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right, folks, if you haven't done so already, we have our 30 days of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales going on right now. It's 25% off site-wide over at thealexjonesstore.com. So if you're someone who has not yet bought the brand new Methylene Red, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and grab yourself some. We just launched it last week. Also, we just announced on this show just a few moments ago, Alex Jones' signature blades are in and they will sell out fast. That is available right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. So head on over there, grab yourself some of these items because they're going to sell out quick. These are great gifts for Christmas over at thealexjonesstore.com. Mark Mitchell's next. Don't go anywhere.
Now, I'm backed by you, the listeners and viewers, and we're in major legal battles, trying to shut us down, ongoing, set up the new network, all of it. When you go to thealexjonesstore.com, I don't own that. That's our sponsor that funds InfoWars and the Alex Jones Network. It is critical to buy the products there. Plus, I'm only going to sell you stuff that really works. We're about to sell out probably today in the Ultra Methylene Red, first run that complements the Methylene Blue. It is an incredible formula, so good for you. It takes about an hour to kick in. The Methylene Blue takes about 30 minutes. It is not a stimulant, but it feels like one. This is so clean. The clarity is so amazing. Both these products are insanely good. Take advantage of the sale right now. Sign up for auto ship, cancel any time, and get your future order at 50% off, including your first order, even though it's about to sell out. TheAlexJonesStore.com is unleashing an entire month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega deals, but each deal only runs for a few days. 30 straight days of freedom-fighting discounts that are absolutely empowering your body, your focus, your clarity, your health, and our operation. All you got to do is take action and try them. We have an 80%+ reorder on things like Methylene Blue. Nobody has that. That's how good these work. Right now, get 25% off site-wide on top of all of the other big sales. That's every supplement like Ultramethylene Red, Life Force, every shirt, hat, and hoodie, slash 25% off while supplies last. But I'm warning you, this could end at any moment, midnight tonight, noon tomorrow. Nobody knows because it's all about how fast the sales come in. Take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
There is a disturbance in the Force. I feel the presence of an invader.
That's right, Vader. I'm taking this Methylene Red to make it available for everyone at thealexjonesstore.com.
You can judge a man by the enemies he dares to defy. He stands against those who would chain the voice of freedom, battling shadowy forces that seek to silence truth. He rises against those who would disarm the people, a lone sentinel guarding the rights of the many. Through the fire of unjust legal warfare, he fights. Not for himself, but for those who cannot. Stripped of wealth, betrayed by systems, yet driven by an unyielding hunger for justice. On the altar of truth, he swears an oath, enduring relentless assaults, slander, schemes, and ceaseless attacks.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
InfoWars is shutting down.
And he remains unbroken, unbowed, unstoppable. His enemies thought they could crush him, thought they could bury his resolve. They were wrong. From the ashes of their lies, he rises stronger. A beacon of defiance in a world of shadows. His enemies reveal his strength, his courage, his heart. But this fight is not his alone. It belongs to every soul who yearns for truth, who dares to stand tall. Will you join him? Will you rise against the tide of tyranny? For a man is not defined by the enemies he faces, but by the fire he carries within. Stand with him. Fight for truth. The battle begins now.
Forged in the fires of liberty, the Alex Jones Network Live app stormed to number one in Apple's trending news apps. Big tech tried to bury it, but freedom's flame can't be extinguished. AJN Live delivers raw truth, uncensored broadcasts, hard-hitting reports, and live alerts the elites dread. Don't let censorship win. Download now. Stand tall. Join the fight. AJN Live, forged by liberty, powered by truth.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. I'm excited that you're all joining us on this beautiful election day. If you live in states like New Jersey or Virginia, or you live in New York City, today is the day to go out and vote. I know, folks. We just brought to you recently the information regarding the ISIS letter that was put out. Again, I don't know how authentic that is. I reached out to DHS. It's circulating online, but most importantly, former CIA employee Sarah Adams posted it. And so that was the reason why we shared it. But it could just be something fake. It doesn't look real to me. I mean, why would ISIS put out a letter saying that they're going to have like 109, I think it said, jihadists ready to make a move in New York City? It could be foreign actors looking to make sure you don't go out and vote. Or it could be, which is strange, but it could be another country possibly truly against Madani. They want to remind voters in New York City why you shouldn't vote for him. He has been accused by several people of obviously being a jihadist and terrorist sympathizer. So that's one thing to look at and to keep in mind. Again, if you live in any of those areas, go out and vote. Don't let things like this deflect you from going out to vote. Just, you know, keep your eyes open. And again, I don't think this is real. I honestly don't even know what to think of it right now. My gut tells me probably not real, but I did reach out to DHS directly for comment on all of this. And when we find out if it's real or not, we will bring that to you, of course. I also want to bring your attention to an announcement that just came out of the White House moments ago. They just pushed out this email notification to us, and it states that the White House has lowered the North Lawn flag in honor of former Vice President Dick Cheney. So that flag has just been lowered over at the White House. You can see here in that image that is the case. The White House just putting that announcement out as well. So we'll keep our eye on that. But a lot of interesting things are happening. I wanted to highlight that to you. We want to talk a little bit about polls because obviously today's election day, most importantly. But there was a really fascinating poll that dropped from Rasmussen Reports yesterday, and I really wanted you to pay attention to this. Take a look. As you can see here, 52% of voters believe that the Biden aides, so everyone who's worked behind the scenes, we like to call them deep state operatives, but that they should be facing criminal prosecution for unauthorized actions during his administration. That's AutoPen. Now, 55% of U.S. voters consider it likely that when Biden was president, members of the White House staff used that AutoPen to sign documents without Biden's knowledge or approval. I don't know. I don't know why it's so low. One would think that if you've been paying attention, you understand that they should all be prosecuted, and it should be closer to 100%. Joining me to discuss is Mr. Mark Mitchell. He's the head pollster over at Rasmussen Reports and a good friend of this show. Mark, it's exciting to have you on today, so thank you for being here. I joke and say that the number should be closer to 100%, but the reality is I'm watching the mainstream media, and they're not even covering the AutoPen scandal. When we looked at Arctic Frost, I think it was like CBS, NBC News, and another outlet spent 0 seconds uncovering Arctic Frost. So it's no surprise to me that the number's only at 52%.
Yeah, I mean, this is like a super anti-establishment thing. I mean, the implications here are absolutely stunning, because if we go after any of these people, I think people will all of a sudden realize that there are major like constitutional implications here about what happened during the Biden administration. But the most important thing that I think about this question specifically about wanting to throw these people in jail, like, first off, only 32% of people say no. And this is a country that basically went half for Kamala Harris. And so a lot of Democrats are like, well, yeah, that's like messed up. Not all the Democrats, only 36% of them say that people should go to jail. But it tells you that they're not like completely ubiquitously ideologically pure on the left, like the mainstream media would have you believe. But the age signal is the most important one, in my opinion. 65 and olders, they say yes. Only 44 to 43, they're basically split. And obviously, they're watching MSNBC, CNN, even Fox News and Newsmax. And so I don't know if they're not covering that stuff, but it would appear to be so. The 18 to 29-year-olds, the people who are also souring on Trump right now, I think this shows one of the reasons is because they haven't seen enough accountability and rapid change. 59% of the 18 to 29s say, yeah, these people should be prosecuted, and only 19% say no.
Interesting. So, Mark, I also wanted, since we're on the topic of age, I wanted to bring up this poll, too. I know it's different, but this is important age-wise. You actually posted this last night on X. Does the nation of Israel have too much influence over U.S. policy or not enough influence over U.S. policy? And this is the age range between 18 and 29, it looks like. 45% say too much, while 23% say not enough. I mean, that's massive, because there's been a lot of issues with the older generations, I'd say, being well-groomed by the mass media into siding with Israel. They don't really provide a rebuttal for that argument, and so they've been kind of brainwashed into just accepting that Israel is our greatest ally. And I know with a lot of people that doesn't sit well, but it looks like the younger generation, people who are relying on digital ways of reaching their news outlets, they seem to think that they have too much pull on U.S. politics. Is that correct?
Yes, this is exactly the message that the Republican Party needs today, is that political capital is running out for the Republicans. People gave Republicans a chance because of Donald Trump, and Donald Trump's approval rating is lowest it's been this term right now, driven by independents and by young people who were the highest approving of Donald Trump back in February and now are the lowest approving. And so I think they want rapid change. Now, today's election day, I don't think any of the Republicans are going to win. Jack Cittarelli is the closest. But in my polling, if voters under 40 weren't voting in New Jersey, Jack Chitterelli would win hands down. And so that's a really weird situation because, I don't think the Republican Party has a message for these people. And if you look at, you know, maybe 20 years ago, if you look at the age spectrum, you'd see a huge difference between the 18-year-olds and the 65 and older on candidate support. But on something like Israel, you wouldn't see that much difference. You know, most people consume the same news. But now where we're at is there's not too much difference between the young people and the older people on Trump support as a candidate. But on Israel, it's night and day different. Only 21% of 18 to 29-year-olds pick Israel when given a choice between supporting Israel versus Palestine. With Palestine, it's in the 40s. But the 65 and older, 59% of them support Israel and much fewer support Palestine. So it's one of the biggest age signals that we have. And I think it's this idea that the 18 to 29s are inheriting a deeply broken society, and they're looking at politicians not from this lens of like party, but a lens of like, what are you doing for me? And are you looking out for my best interests? And I think as the Republican Party has shown us this week, not only does it not care about the government shutdown, not only is it really addressing what these Zoomers want and need, which is massive economic change, it's dallying with Israel right now and trying to out-purify, test itself into becoming like Make Israel Great Again movement. That's what it feels like boomer cons want right now. And I'm sorry, you're not going to reach the Zoomers. And these people are the future because the 65 and older are dying out. And once that happens, Israel will not have plurality support in this country. It had majority support. It was 59%. Just 2 years ago after October 7th, among all likely voters, it's down to 41% right now. It's only net plus 13. They're going to lose that in 5 or 10 years. The writing's on the wall. And yet the Republican Party seems to want to go down on this ship. And I'm not, this is not an anti-Israel statement.
Yeah.
I think J.D. Vance like did a very good job of explaining like where, how we should perceive Israel as part of an America First movement. But unfortunately, that's not good enough for the purists in Washington, D.C., because just like with big business, I think that they don't have the voters' interests, in the front of their mind. I just don't think that that's what drives them on a daily basis.
Yeah, and Mark, I think Israel agrees with you on that front, too, when it comes to that they're losing that voter base, ultimately that age range, because they're the ones who are now pouring millions of dollars into these social media influencer campaigns and so many other individuals, too. So I think that they understand that. And it's not just Israel, too. To play a devil's advocate, Qatar does that as well. And they have offered, I could speak to it, too. They've offered me a trip through somebody else to come to Qatar and to see it for myself. Now, again, there was no actual dollar amount involved in that. It was just come visit. It will be a free trip. But this is kind of what happens, and this is how they're winning people over. And it happens on both sides. It does happen on both sides. Yeah. And so it's interesting to see how they're all kind of hitting the panic button on that.
Well, that's why I think we need to be able to address these things independently and with nuance. And it's one of the reasons that we don't like do any of that. And people have to trust that I'm coming at this from an independent perspective. It's why we're also not hired by either political party. And I'm literally just looking out for the voters. And I've been told by people that they've been approached by, yes, by both Qatar and Israel. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the influence, the problem is that there's so much misinformation online right now. And I've seen a lot of freaking logical fallacies just in the last week, more than I've ever seen before. And I can only assume that some of that is coming from these bots, because you're right, they did massively increase the Hezbollah budget. Like, it's a fact. But if you kind of go toe-to-toe, like looking at the Qatari influence, one of the things that people say is like, oh, look, they've spent $6 billion on our education system. And it's like, okay, that's true. But it's been spread out over decades, and 70% of that went to building educational institutions that were satellites, like in the Middle East, because they wanted American education. So it's not necessarily complete influence. And I worked with AI to try and figure this out, to really understand the level of influence. And yes, Qatar does buy people. Yes, they do have influence. Yes, they have like the influence over Al Jazeera. Nobody really watches it. But if you look, there's this aspect of Israel that has this complete like cultural immersion with the United States. It is night and day different, the extent to which there are a group of people that identify very strongly with Israel. There's a lot of interest in the politicians. You could see it, the Republican Jewish coalition, where you have people who want to be the future of the Republican Party, getting up and saying proudly that they're Christian Zionists when these same politicians would have run from the term Christian nationalist just 3 years ago. And so it kind of doesn't look that great. And again, I think it's like a race to the bottom to try and figure out who's going to be the most irrelevant person in the Republican Party, with the subtext that I think it's an attempt to try to wrestle control from J.D. Vance, who is by far the Republican primary favorite at this point in time. He's 5x higher than the next closest person. He beats Rubio 53-11. And so I thought the Republican Civil War was going to be about economic populism, because the Club for Growth people, the Charles Koch types, the Ken Griffin types, you know, wouldn't really want to do the economic populist things that because they've supported the Republican Party and are basically the primary interest. But it turns out, like, literally just one conversation between two humans online created this entire civil war over Israel in a way that, like, maybe they'll win, but they'll win with an irrelevant Republican Party, because the Zoomers don't want any, they don't want to put anybody first. They just don't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Mark, this is a little off topic, but I did a whole segment when we opened up the show about how I stand with Tucker Carlson, and it's not based on what he said specifically. It's based off the fact that I believe that he has a right to free speech and have anyone on his show who he wants at the platform. And there were several people, including this one here, who then claimed, because I stand with Tucker Carlson's right to run his own operations based on however he wants to, this means that I stand with Sharia law, Maduro, Qatar, and Nazism. And as many people who probably have not watched this show could even assume, someone who dedicates about 3 hours a day to covering the dangers of Islam, I mean, this is just a joke, but this is how far people on both sides have become, where they can't even have a simple conversation about these issues, or they don't even welcome a conversation about these issues. They try their very best to silence Nick Fuentes, who I think they're only giving a bigger platform when they try their very best to go after him and to deplatform him. I mean, the guy's career has ballooned because they go after him all the time. And it's like, if you just stop talking about it, and if that was your goal to make sure that people didn't hear his message, you probably would help people not hear his message. But because, you know, you sit there and these people sit there, well, not you, Mark, personally, but other people sit there and they go after him all the time online. They have created the celebrity that Nick Fuentes has become. I mean, the guy's got over 1 million followers now on Twitter, and he has just completely skyrocketed. And you don't have to agree with what he says, but Nick Fuentes does, in my opinion, have a right to say what he feels and to say whatever he wants to say. And to sit here and say that Tucker, because Tucker gave him a platform, the two of them have gone after each other, to sit here and say that he doesn't have a right to go on Tucker's show because they're trying to make it mainstream is absurd. But also to think that you could cancel Tucker Carlson is also pretty stupid in itself, considering the fact that he's well off and he has his own platform. And I don't think he even relies much on advertisers. He might sprinkle a tweet with an advertiser, but he's not someone who is reliant on that. So I just think it's so funny that people keep having these conversations. But Mark, you didn't come here to talk about that. You came here also to talk about another thing that you posted yesterday on X. So I will pivot back to that. You just recently released the approval ratings, I guess you could say, for Congress. And when it comes to that independent rating of Congress, as independent voters, when it comes to their views on Congress, I believe this is, excellent is 3%. When it comes to independent voters, though, 65% view them as poor. I mean, that's pretty telling in itself. I mean, both sides need a positive number. And I know Trump also, too, to kind of add to this, he says that if the Republicans don't get rid of and terminate the filibuster, that they will lose in midterms and they'll also lose in 2028 as well, the presidency. Just kind of break down this poll for us on what you're seeing here.
Yeah, I came on InfoWars and said to Alex Jones a long time ago that really the only path forward was to use the nuclear option and pass good laws. I laid out a plan for Republicans to follow, and now finally Donald Trump agrees with me. Mm-hmm. And what's sad is that I don't think they can do it. I think they literally don't have the votes because they only have like a 3-person lead in the Senate. What's kind of dark is that they probably need 60 votes in the Senate, not for the filibuster, but just to use the nuclear option, because so many people are corrupted by special interests and whatnot. And I think if they want this to happen, they're going to have to play Smash Mouth. But this is all kind of related again, because the right is focused on this discussion And I think it's important to go back to it a little bit and just remind ourselves, we kicked off 2025 with the left trying to convince America that Elon Musk was Adolf Hitler. And now the right is trying to convince America that Tucker Carlson is Hitler. And I think it's important to note this is not about Nick Fuentes, because, and again, Nick Fuentes' search volume is higher now than it was last week. So the Streisand effect is real, people. But they not only came after him, they came after Tucker Carlson. Again, just a human having another talk with another human. Mm-hmm. And they tried to frame it as First Amendment free speech. But in reality, what it has become is online bully tactics in order to, in my opinion, try to exert change in the leadership of the Republican Party. This is where they want it to go. And they're using leftist tactics to get there, because now they're trying to brigade this guy at the head of the Heritage Foundation that's been moving the Republican main think tank towards MAGA. And that's like no bueno for them. They don't want that. And they're going after this guy for a 2-minute clip that he wrote. And it's because he didn't disavow somebody loud enough. And this is the left tactics they're doing. I've been called an anti-Semite because I didn't disavow Candace Owens, who I don't even watch. It's like, why is it my job to know everything that this human said? And so it's election day. And I think all the Republicans are going to lose. And it's because the Republicans have been telling themselves that because Donald Trump did better, the country is moving to the right. But the country isn't moving to the right. It took a swing on Donald Trump, and the Republicans are failing them. And so let's acknowledge, on election day, the government is shut down. Republicans are doing nothing. They're fighting, infighting about things that aren't the voters' primary interests. And there you have the ratings. Donald Trump's ratings at the lowest it's been so far this term because of independents. And independents hate Congress. So what's your plan to win in November of 2026 when America gave the Republican Party a chance because of Trump? And now everybody agrees that the Republican Congress is letting down America. Even Republicans' rating of Congress is freaking horrible. 13% say excellent, 19% say good. That's only 32% of Republicans saying that about their own freaking Congress. 41% say poor, 22% say fair. So that's 63%. And obviously Democrats hate Congress. And that's it. It's your Congress. You're doing nothing. Trump's railing on you. You're still doing nothing. You're focused on making speeches about trying to literally neutralize your own internal people in your movement at Republican Jewish coalitions. And all of the Zoomers are watching you going like, what the hell? I can't buy a house.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's so frustrating to echo that, because their focus is all over the place, but it's not in the right places. And that's the problem that's so troubling here. Because I think More and more Americans, the younger they get too, they want that shot at the American dream that we were all kind of promised that we possibly would have a shot at. And it's kind of, you know, slipping away for most. To kind of end things here on a little bit of a positive note, you guys actually have a really sweeter poll, which gives me a little bit of hope these days. This one is about 70% of American adults say marriage is important in terms of their personal happiness. 70%, that's something we could all agree on. So I like those numbers. 70% seems good. Break down this poll as well.
This comes back to the Zoomers. I hate to say this. And the age signal was also like really bad there. Because it's like, would America be better if there were more traditional marriages? And when you're 18 to 29s are least likely to say yes, that's kind of a problem. It was only like lower 40s that said yes. And so the question is, who are these people and what do they care about? When we asked how important is it that the education system teaches Western values, they were also least likely to say yes. And so they're very, like, we're not talking about the teenagers. We're talking about like some of the millennials too, like people in their 30s, like mid 30s. These people are going to be leading things very soon. And that's exactly what the fourth turning tells us. And so you have this really weird situation where, like, basically boomers and zoomers are on complete opposite ends of things. Like, what would be the best thing for zoomers right now is a catastrophic housing implosion. That would also be the worst thing for boomers right now. They'd be underwater and all their home equity lines of credit that they got back with 3% interest rates. And so, that's the future. There's going to be a handoff. The boomers are not going to go down nicely. They're going to be swinging real hard. And we're seeing that today because Israel is an important boomer issue. And with fourth turning, new leadership, they're going to fix the situation. They're going to put new institutions. They're going to instill new values in society. And unfortunately, one of the most popular politicians right now among Gen Z is this Mamdani guy in New York, who's a Democrat socialist and is probably like, you know, a Trojan horse for Islamic Sharia law. And yeah. They're like, okay, well, I tried Donald Trump and he's not fixing anything. And so I guess we'll go after Democrat socialism because the Republican Party doesn't have an answer for me. And they don't care about marriage. Like, that's not really in their picture. They're pretty okay just like, you know, watching porn and stuff.
What a great way to end this interview, Mark.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, people call me a doomer, but it's like, I'm a lookout. I'm looking at the numbers and telling you that the writing is on the wall. These people are going to reform society and you're not going to be able to force your values down their throats. And right now I'm telling you, you're not going to like the society that people under 40 build. They take a lot of medication for mental health issues. They don't really care that much about the dating market, their traditional values. They're not really interested. The men are more than the women, but they're not really interested in procreating and creating large families. You know, Charlie Kirk was very right in this regard. And not only that, they're kind of like de-churching. Now, some of them are going back to traditional churches, but they're the people least likely to say that religion is important to their daily lives as well. And so again, screaming loud, railing against yesterday, like railing for yesterday's values is not the way. And these people are going to pick a path forward and they're not going to listen to you when you say you have to disavow Nick Fuentes. Again, bringing it back to him, Nick Fuentes didn't create this movement. Nick Fuentes cynically harnessed the idea that for the last 10 years, the backbone of Trump's movement has been young, angry men. Well, they're still out there and they're still angry and they're not getting what they want. And so they're going to look farther afield. And this is what you're going to get.
Yeah. I mean, we'll continue to follow it, obviously, Mark. And you guys are the number of people. So we trust you in all of this. Mark Mitchell, thanks for jumping on with me today. Again, give him a follow on X. You're the only pollster I trust. And so that's Honest Pollster over on X. Give him a follow. Mark, thank you for being here. Folks, I know you promised this RFK Jr. soundbite before we concluded. So let's play a little bit of RFK Jr. because he has been talking about getting rid of mercury in our vaccines. Most importantly, now he's pushing it on a global level. Take a listen.
The Minamata Convention was born from a shared moral conviction that no human being should suffer from exposure to mercury. You came together to protect future generations from this potent neurotoxin, and I'm looking forward to continued progress. Article 4 of the convention calls on parties to cut mercury use by phasing out listed mercury-added products. But in 2010, as the treaty took shape, negotiators made a major exception. Thimerosal-containing vaccines were carved out of the regulation. The same treaty that began to phase out mercury in lamps and cosmetics chose to leave it in products injected into babies, pregnant women, and the most vulnerable among us. We have to ask, why? Why do we hold a double standard for mercury? Why do we call it dangerous in batteries, in over-the-counter medications and makeup, but acceptable in vaccines and dental fillings? Thimerosal is a mercury-based preservative that has never undergone proper safety testing in humans. Hundreds of peer-reviewed studies identify it as a potent neurotoxin, a mutagen, a carcinogen, and an endocrine disruptor. Thimerosal's own label requires it to be treated as hazardous material and warns against ingestion. There is not a single study that proves it safe. That's why in July of this year, the United States closed the final chapter on the use of thimerosal as a vaccine preservative, something that should have happened years ago.
All right, I want to step in this before we get cut off, but obviously he is now pushing for those on a global scale to pull these mercury toxic vaccines off the market and come up with a safer version. So we are on board for that, as obviously people who support the MAHA movement. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. We announced on this show, Alex Jones's signature blades are in stock and they will sell out fast. And it's 25% off site-wide right now. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. The Alex Jones Show is next.
Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively. Limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never been prouder of a product launch than I am of this. I really had a heavy hand in this.
And so we put this together as both the Methylene Blue Super Enhancer, especially with the cognitive focus benefits, the mitochondria empowerment, and the brain dropping off an extra electron for the brain cells. But it's also an incredible standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. It's even got the CoQ10 in it, of course, which is huge. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement. I'm very proud that we launched it. I'm very proud that it's our second tincture on the market. And when I'm looking through these studies, I mean, here are the benefits that are listed. Migraine prevention, cardiovascular help, cellular protection. We've got neurotransmitter synthesis and mood helps. People with depression, according to these studies that I've looked at here. Even energy and fatigue reduction, more cardio production, cognitive support, mood cognition, endothelial function. I mean, it goes on and on. Nerve regeneration, cognitive and mood support.
Everything we sell is the most insanely powerful, best thing we can come up with because this is what we take. So that's why everybody just raves and raves and raves about the products at thealexjonesstore.com.
In times uncertain of what the future holds, when cameras see everything and silence speaks louder than words, you'll need more than just awareness. You'll need focus. You'll need power. Fuel your mind. Energize your body. Stay sharp in the age of control with Methylene Blue from thealexjonesstore.com. Because no matter how advanced the system becomes, your energy is your freedom.